The Boulé of 400 took power. The regular Boulé of the democracy was told to leave. This Boulé of 400, or just the 400 as we call it, apparently had executive powers. It supervised magistrates. It controlled finances. That is, it was essentially the sovereign body. Above all, it was commissioned with the task of drawing up a new constitution of the 5,000. And that's preserved in chapter 31 of the Athenaeum Politeia, the Constitution of Athens by Aristotle. And the 5,000 was nothing more than a bogus sop to the moderates by the oligarchs that, oh, this boule of 400, which is essentially the state, the controlling power of the state, we're going to draw up a new register of citizens, and citizens who can vote should not be less than 5,000. That is the hoplite class. Probably the hoplite class was double that. And what this new constitution would do is it would end payment of office, payment of jury service. It would put restrictions on the assembly. And the thetes would not have voting rights, but they would have all their political and legal rights. And it was this 5,000, this moderate constitution that would assure Persian aid. Well, as I said, the 5,000 was essentially a political fiction. It was not supposed to come into existence. It satisfied many of the moderates in the 400, men such as Theramides, whereas the real oligarchs, who were probably a minority in the 400, were scheming to no end to remove radical Democrats. They were in touch with the Spartans and were hoping that they could get some kind of Persian aid and, if necessary, deliver the city over to the Spartans. Meanwhile, the mission that had been sent out to secure Persian aid for this outfit, the 400, arrived first at the fleet in Samos, where the representatives were nearly lynched when the Athenian sailors said, "What? You're going to abolish the democracy?" And they immediately said, no, it's just a restriction. It's all very temporary. And we have this constitution of the 5,000, and then we can always go back to the full democracy once we have the Persian aid. Actually, a number of Athenian generals and officers who were suspected of being somehow inclined to accept the 400 were removed and replaced by the thetes and the hoplites in the navy. And all of a sudden, the Athenian armed forces began to operate essentially as the Assembly of Athens in absentia. They then went from the fleet, which had only been slightly reconciled to this idea, and tempers were really still pretty frayed about this. And Thrasybulus, who was one of the commanders of the Triarch, had been re-elected as one of the new generals of the fleet because he was known to be a convinced Democrat. So the fleet was now led by absolutely convinced Democrats. Any officer who was not committed to the democracy had been replaced, and they really were very, very suspicious of this whole scheme. In any case, the mission, it was headed up by Pisander of the oligarchs, the members of the 400 in Athens. They went to Sardis to get that Persian aid, which was the whole reason for doing this in the first place. And they immediately came up against Alcibiades. Now, Alcibiades couldn't deliver the Persian aid. It's not quite sure Tissaphernes, if anyone bothered to translate for him, understood all of the machinations going on. But Alcibiades kept the envoys away from direct contact with Tissaphernes, and he knew full well that these oligarchs were just playing a bogus game. They really intended to betray the city, and they were here to see if Alcibiades really could deliver the aid, and that would justify them producing a bill in this new assembly or the new Council of 400 to recall him. And Alcibiades knew they really were probably not going to do that. So Alcibiades essentially torpedoed the negotiations. He made outrageous demands on the envoys, which even these oligarchs couldn't agree, including one that, well, the great king will pay for the 400 and this restricted government if you allow the Phoenician fleet to come into the Aegean and sail wherever you want. I mean, there's all even the oligarchs realize they can't even peddle this back in Athens. So the envoys left Sardis, going back to Athens with the news, the fleet's in rage, Alcibiades can't deliver the aid, and essentially, what do we do next? And really what happened is most of the oligarchs were now in a real quandary. You know, they were in a dangerous position. Alcibiades, after the breakup of that meeting, had acquired enough information that he went to the fleet at Samos, got in touch with his friends, notably Thrasybulus, another man, Thrasylus, men who had just been elected as new generals by the fleet. There was a major assembly convened of the sailors and the hoplites, and Alcibiades then told all of his fellow Athenians that he was shocked that he had the names of all these traitors in the 400 who were negotiating out of bad faith planned to hand the city over to to the Spartans, and that they really should do something about this. The assembly was more than willing to listen to this. They immediately voted a condemnation of the 400, demanded that the constitution of the 5,000 be implemented immediately, and carried out a bill recalling Alcibiades from exile and ending the death sentence on him. And then Alcibiades was immediately elected general on the spot at Samos. An absolutely brilliant piece of political maneuvering.